The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
All right, so it's been a while since we've updated. It's actually been a week, almost. It's been 6 days, I think, for me. You guys don't know the difference. Last update was in Jacksonville, and we talked about Atlanta, and we are now, sister and I are in St. Augustine, Florida, the first city in America. We are at Castilla de San Marcos. It was a Spanish fort that was then taken over by the British and then taken back by the Spanish and then taken over by the British and then given to the Americans. Part of the history part of some of this tour. It's cool. It's a nice little fort on the water. We saw, sister and I, we went to another fort, La Carolina, which was a French fort that's means Fort Caroline, ba, ba, ba. So Jacksonville was nice. I stayed with, I have an uncle and an aunt who live out there in Jacksonville. They let me stay at their place. Their dog, not as well behaved and polite as sister is. He's a little more rambunctious. So we had to keep the two of them separate. We had to keep them separated. And it was fun. You know, they're Trump supporters. So it's like, keep your mouth shut. They're feeding you and housing you. Don't say anything. And they tried to bait me into it. He was like, do you think a 9-year-old should be allowed to choose their own gender? It's like, who the fuck cares? If it's not your 9-year-old, what the fuck do you care? Anyway. But otherwise than that, you know. We get in and we're talking. We're like, oh, yeah, let's get some lunch. There's this really great pizza place. They make these small little thin crust pizzas. They're coal-fired or wood-fired oven and whatnot. They're great. You'll love them. It's like, all right, cool. And it's Blaze Pizza. Like, it's a chain. We have them all over the country. It's not a local place. It's not Domino's, a family-owned establishment, a local family-owned establishment. Anyway, but it was fine. We had a little pizza and a little diet soda. Didn't spike too much of my blood sugar. That night, I did just an open mic at a bar in Jacksonville over by the, right next to the jail, apparently. And that's all I could see on the map to signify where in town it was. But it was fine.
All right, and I think now is the person I was trying to talk about before. Whew! He travels all over the country and does comedy, and he's here tonight. So we're excited to hear the very hilarious Dennis Maller.
Yeah. Oh, give it up for Flo, everybody. I know that introduction's less impressive the second time around, isn't it? They always tell you don't meet your idols. What they don't tell you is if you meet your idols, they always tell you, don't meet your idols. They'll only disappoint you, right? But what they don't tell you, if you meet your idols, don't disappoint them. A friend of mine was getting married, and his wife was college friends with the waitress from the TV show Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you know the show? She's married to the creator of the show, Charlie Day. So they come to the wedding, she's in the wedding. We're hanging out the night before the wedding at a bar all together, and I'm arguing with Charlie Day on who's buying who a beer. Why am I arguing with them? I don't know. I don't make basic cable money. I don't know why I'm arguing with them. So.
I don't know. It's one of those situations where it's like, I don't know, maybe you should write jokes instead of just yelling and playing songs. I mean, there was some severely hacky material. And I liked the open mic. The woman who was running it seemed fine. Flo funny. You're putting comedian or funny in your name. Your stage name, usually a red flag. This is coming from a guy with a stage name. That's ironic. Dead air means silence, and I never stop talking. So I probably don't have much room to judge. But she was fine. It felt very misfit-y. It felt very much like the people who are attending this mic are more of the outcasts, which felt comforting at home, except for one guy who was no punchlines, just yelling. And he made the DJ play. We get it. You're a black guy, and he's playing a country song, and that's your song. It's so ironic. Oh, my God, how did you think of it? I will say this. I said this in Baltimore, and I realize it's more of a, I guess, Southern thing than it is a Boston thing, is going to shows and listen to hosts go, you know, all right, everybody, clap it up. Start clapping now. Doing, like, the pre-clap before the announcing the comedian's name. Because we were trained as an audience, like, all right, your next comedian, your next person coming up is blah, 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 credit, credit, credits. Talk about them. And then you say their name, and then everyone starts clapping. And we have a habit, and I think it's more an urban comedy thing. You know, Baltimore has a lot of, D.C. has a lot of urbanness into their comedy. And obviously it's kind of penetrated here in the South because there's, you know, people around here that are, you know, people of color, which is, you know, not much of what Boston is. You'll get the, all right, everybody start clapping it up right now. Clap it up for your next comedian coming up. Yeah, get this clap going. Your next comedian is. And it's refreshing to see that difference coming up around the scenes, because it doesn't happen in Boston. Nobody, I mean, maybe in an urban room, which there's not many urban rooms. Corey Manning, friend of mine, he runs kind of an urban-ish rooms, urban-ish crowds. I guess there's Slades, that is the urban comedy. You know, Jonathan Gates, the godfather of Boston black comedy. Nobody says the black part, they say godfather, but there's like eight old dudes in Boston. Seven of them are white guys that all smoke cigars. All can call themselves the godfather of Boston comedy. So apparently we have a lot of godfathers in Boston comedy. Comedians of color, black comedians, walk up and their first thing out their mouth is, what's up, white people? That's so overworn and so overdone in Boston that it drives me absolutely bonkers. I'm so sick of it. It's so hacky. But the people down here don't have that because they have different mix. Oh my God, look at this diverse crowd of all white people. We got white people with blonde hair, white people with brown hair. Ugh, I get it. Like, the only other thing more hacky in Boston than that intro, and this is also, I've seen this in other cities, but a lot of guys have adopted it in Boston. And I don't know why they're not getting mad at each other for doing it, but is the, look, I was supposed to be at the Tonight Show. They called me. And I was like, yeah, I would love to do the Tonight Show, but I have to be here instead. I came here and I said, under no circumstance will I do the show if it's packed. I want the whole front row empty. Like, they all have the same hacky intro. It's like six of them. Sister's not getting adapted to the car as much as I would like her to. She's still just the whole car ride. She's sitting and laying down more. But she's still standing and panting. Even when she's laying down, she's panting. Last night, she was so sleepy. You could see her trying to fall asleep. And it's like, just lay down and go to sleep. Just sleep. So I broke down. I didn't want to get these. I got some calming treats from Petco for her. We tried them out yesterday on the drive here to St. Augustine. And they did not seem to work at all. They recommend one chew for every 25 pounds. She's 75 pounds, so I gave her three. This morning when we left, I gave her four, see how that is, and they have a little more effect now. They didn't have one of the, you know, five-minute drive over here, but while we were touring the fort and listening to the park rangers give presentations, she was definitely nodding off. The reason I held off on it is because I don't know what they're going to do to her. God forbid she's allergic to something, I don't know. But also they're hemp, they're cannabis, and I'm like, I'm not giving my dog cannabis. The ones I gave her are hemp and chamomile and melatonin. So she does seem a little more docile, but she's kind of like this when she's not in the car. So we'll see when we leave the park here how she is in the car. So after Jacksonville, spent the night. Next day we drove to Gainesville because there was an open mic. And now here's the thing that I'm starting to have to get myself used to, is going to cities that don't have comedy every day of the week. Like, I've been so fortunate for so long, living in Baltimore, living in, you know, going down to D.C. and living in Boston, and they're just being comedy every night of the week. Not, I mean, open mics and comedy shows. Like, there's always something to do. And I got to realize that it's not that way. Even here in 2025, it's not that way in other cities. You would think the major metropolitan cities, yeah, but no. Even, I mean, I don't know. Is Gainesville a metro, major metropolitan city? I don't know what the population is. It's a college town. I guess it's what, University of Florida is there? U of A? UFF? No, not U of A. UFF, maybe? UF? whatever it is. I think there's a college there. So we drove, it's only an hour away from Jacksonville, drove overnight, and the plan was to drive there and then leave Gainesville and drive to Charleston, South Carolina. And I got all the way to Gainesville. I got to the bar that was hosting this open mic. I walk in and it's empty. It's just a bartender and one woman sitting at the bar. I was like, is this so-and-so place? Oh, that's our, this is so-and-so. Vincenzo's or Valenzio's or Vino or whatever. And the place you're looking for is our other section over there. Why? What do you, when you're looking, like, you still doing the open mic tonight? They're like, no, that was yesterday. Like, but it says today. Yeah, we decided to move them to a day earlier now. All right, well, it doesn't say that anywhere online. It still promotes it as today, so you might want to fix that. Why is it difficult for businesses just to update their websites? Websites aren't hard to update. Like, if I get it. You're not web designers. But there's so many easy tools, web building tools these days that you can just create your own site. And if you don't have the time or effort to do it yourself, and you're paying somebody to do it, that's fine, but you pay them to give you access to the website so you can update it yourself. An easy little form. You log into a form and just fill things out for calendar events like this. And your social media. Just update your social media. It's so disappointing in this day and age where even in 2025, you can't keep up. With Facebook, even Facebook's so easy to keep up with. I'm not an advocate for Facebook. You don't want to be on social media, that's fine. But if you're going to be advertising your business, especially a business that based its entire income stream on having events, then you need to promote your events. And Facebook's a free and quick, easy way to do it. You know, I go to Instagram, easy, quick way. There's not that difficult to make images these days. Just disappointing when you're, and especially with comedy, like you'll go to the websites and Facebook pages of businesses, and they'll be promoting trivia constantly, and they'll be promoting dance night and this night and all these other things, and then you like, oh, they do comedy, it's not listed anywhere, doesn't say it anywhere. Do they do comedy? You can't keep up on it. You know, they talk about music open mics. You see music mics all the time being listed on people's sites. Why are these things, comedy, so many people just don't take comedy, they don't take comedy serious. That was the dumbest sentence I probably have ever said. I mean, I can't blame comedians. I can blame comedians. I understand that when comedians are, you know, are derelicts in their ability to promote their events. You as the establishment, yeah, you're hiring the comedian to promote the event to get people inside the doors. I get that. So it's like, hey, you, comedian, need to go promote your event. But it's a little annoying when you don't take any onus in yourself to getting people in your own doors. I mean, I think it goes back to the thing, may have said this before, is like, can we just stop telling new comedians that if you want more stage time, start your own shows? Because they're not taking, there's the people who are going to take it serious, we don't have to tell them to do this. But we're emboldening and empowering people who aren't going to take it serious, who don't know what they're doing, who aren't funny, who can't get booked, to go create a show in a space that they don't know how to create a show. They don't know how to keep up on being funny. They don't know how to deal with an audience. They don't know how to promote a show. And they're going into these spaces and they're just doing a half-assed job and ruining a space for a comedian who could have potentially have run a good show in that environment. So I go all the way to Gainesville and it's not happening. I look around, there's nothing else happening in town. So I just get back in the car and we drive to South Carolina. We drove to Charleston. So yes, the story's gone from north to south to back north again. That's fun, backtracking. But there was a reason for it. And it's because I got a good booking. I got a good show that I was on. Great show. So here's what happened. I got a friend, she lives here in South Carolina. She lives in Charleston, her name's Erin Locke. She's a comedian, she's a pandemic friend. And I hit her up, I was like, hey, when I'm in town, you know, I'm coming to town January 5th, Sunday, January 5th. Do you know any shows? Hit up this guy. She gives me a name, Josh Bates. Runs a club called Wits End. And I'm looking at his site. I'm looking at his thing. It looks like he ran a monthly show for a while. And then I guess, I know now, the monthly show turned into this club. He bought a club and it's establishment, Wits End. No shows on that day. But I'm looking through the calendar. Friday and Saturday. There's a comedian there, Hunter Hill. He's the regular opener for Eliza Schlesinger. Him and I know each other, sort of. We did some Zooms or clubhouses together during the pandemic. And then he came to Boston a couple months ago, and I hit him up. I was like, hey, dude, you're coming to Boston. You want to hang out? I pop by a show. We talk, you know, kind of do the more I'm trying to remind you who I am and how we met. We just talked and chatted and had a good time. And he was like, here, give me your number. Here's my number. We exchanged phone numbers, you know. And that was it. You know, I think we texted back and forth, like, hey, how did your big show that you're in town for go? You know, he was stopping in to do a bar show before he did a, you know, headlining show at a club. You know, and after I was like, how did your show? Oh, it was small, but it was fine. It was good. Everybody were into it. Had some fun. Cool. All right, take care. Talk to you soon. So I hit him up in December when I was booking things. I'm like, hey, Hunter, I'm going to be in Charleston the same weekend you are, 9th and 10th. I see you're at Wits End. Is it cool if I come do a guest spot or host for you on those nights? I don't hear back for a while. And I'm giving it time, you know. You know, I did the same thing with my friend Justin Schlegel with the New Year's Eve. You know, I hit him up and then don't pester. Don't bother him. You know, just let it be. You know, give it a little time and then send a reminder. You know, luckily Justin just hit me back and he was like, say less, you're in. Just to derail, but going back to Sister, I don't know if this is scratching is allergy scratching or if this is normal dog scratching. We have to figure this out. Or she's just scratching like, you're not paying attention to me and you're talking. I'm going to make noise to annoy you. Huh? Anyway. One of the things that we're doing on this trip is we're going to see if Sister's allergies come back. Because she has a lot of allergies up there and we used to give her Benadryl for the allergies. Now we give her a shot. And so since I went to Baltimore for the month, didn't seem like she needed the shot. So we're holding out on it. So we don't know if the South is going to make her allergies pop back up. If it's going to be the time of the year, we'll see. We'll find out. Her eyes are just drooping. She's falling asleep. Hopefully this lasts in the car. When we get in the car, she just goes right to sleep for the drive. Anyway, so I gave it a couple weeks and I hit Hunter up. Hey man, happy New Year's. Wonder if you had a chance to listen to my tape and consider letting me guess for you. Immediate reply back. Hey man, didn't see this the first time around. Absolutely. Go ahead, no problems. Do you know Josh at the club? All right, I was like, I got his contact. So I had already kind of sent them a pre, hey man, I'm coming to town on these days. Love to do a spot at your club. Here's my tape. Here's my press kit. You know, didn't hear back from him, but I didn't expect. I also like hit him up on Facebook like, hey, do you want an email? Is that what you're thinking? What's your email? And I also sent an email a couple weeks later. So I get the approval from Hunter. I shoot a message to Josh. Hey, talk to Hunter. I'm with our friends. He said it's cool that I come do a guest spot. Is there anything you need from me? Anything I need to know about the club? And I don't hear back, but that's fine. So we drive overnight to Charleston. We get there. You know, we nap. Get cleaned up. And we go to the club. And this club's great. I love this place. Oh my God. If you're in Charleston, South Carolina, or in the area, Wits End. It is an awesome little comedy club and lounge. And they got a little game room upstairs with a pool table and arcades and pinballs and a claw machine. If you want to win a prize at a comedy club. But the show's great. It's a tiny little room, about, you know, 100 people maybe. And on Friday night, packed. Almost sold out. I think 60 people was what was projected. You know, there's a local host, local feature. Josh, who runs the club, does a set. And I think he did the set because, well, we were waiting for Hunter. He got stuck. His flights got canceled. He was in Atlanta and had to rent a car and drive down from Atlanta and just made it in time. Like, he made it, I think, a couple minutes after 9 o'clock. And they pushed the show back half an hour to start at 8:30, which nobody contacted me. Nobody told me, but I saw it on Facebook, so I knew it was going to start at late anyway. I get there super early because I'm early to everything and I, you know, want to make a good impression with the club. He's like, all right, cool. You're doing, you know, host is going to do 10. You're going to do 10. So-and-so's doing 20. And I'm going to just do time until Hunter gets here and hopefully he makes it.
So yeah, I go to Boston Public Schools every week and I read stories to second graders. Because I have a third grade reading level. I love this job. First day I came to the job, right? All the kids came rushing up to the reading area and they sat down all nice and neat, all crisscross applesauce, which I was like, I found out that day is the only way to refer to that sitting stone now. And they're all neat and Collins and Rose, and I look at the teacher and I'm like, oh my God, these kids are so well behaved. She goes, they're well behaved. They have assigned seats. Right? Assigned seats for story time? Sounds like fascism to me. And then 5 minutes later, when they went and shut up and pay attention, I'm like, these little fuckers need rules. They need discipline. I get it now. And that's when the kids be quiet. I was like, hey, Gareth, I need you to sit down and be quiet so the other kids can hear the story. And that's when he stands up and goes, I'm Kyle. That's Gareth. Now I've lost all control of the classroom because I can't read the seating chart as well as they can. From that day on, every day was Lord of the Flies and I was Piggy. Okay, I feel like this side of the room is past sixth grade English.
And he gets there, the show's great, audience is awesome. Everyone was there on purpose and everyone was there to have fun. And it was a really good time. I love the club. The staff is awesome, tiny. You know, like what their offerings and everything. There's some cool artwork along the walls and photographs up and down there. Big, huge green room. It's got a big, big TV and a Xbox and stuff. So, you know, I do my set and everything. They're awesome. I think I have the tape. I think I got the tape. It's a 10-minute set, so it's a little longer for submission tapes because most places want a 5-minute tape. Some places that you can send something over 5 minutes, but we'll only guarantee to watch 5 minutes of it, which is fine. It's a straight banger from moment one to moment 10. It is absolutely great. Like, the jokes are hitting. The audience is great. And it could not be any better of a night. Like, you know, I talked to Hunter. We hang out for a little bit. He's like, are you doing a spot tomorrow? I'm like, it's up to you, dude. Do you want me to? Like, can I? He's like, yeah, absolutely. I feel bad I missed your set. So we do come back on Saturday. I don't have to worry about anything. You know, I get to perform again. Oh, I did go to, you know, during the day before we went to our show, sister and I, we went to the first museum in America. Yeah. Located in Charleston, South Carolina. Who knew? And it was fun going through the museum because you can see what old museums were like. Basically, like when you watch those, you know, watch some old movies, like if you watch the movie like The Mummy with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz, you learn that old museums just used to, like, didn't have things to show because there wasn't a lot of archaeological finds. So it's like everyone was obsessed. Like this museum opened in 1772, I think it was. And everyone was obsessed back then with mummies. With Egypt, because that was the big, huge archaeological find of the time. So you can see, like, the original museum was nothing but Egyptian statues. But then also at the same time, and mummies and all that stuff, but at the same time, they didn't really have much other else, you know? And there was things that in 1772, things had just happened, so they weren't, like, historically old yet. So they would just have, like, you know, stuffed bears. Everybody gets to see bears. You don't see bears. Bears, you know, when do you get to see a bear if you're living in an actual city? You know, if you live in the wilderness, you see bears. So there was tons of Americans throughout the country here that had never seen bears or cougars. So they had stuffed animals or their skeletons. Not even just like dinosaurs, things that are mythical or ancient or old. They would have like just regular stuffed animals. Like, hey, yeah, you've probably never seen a badger. But they have a whole bunch of other stuff in there. And of course, it's South Carolina, so I had to go and see what they had to say about the Preston Brooks and Charles Sumner incident. If you don't know what that is, leading up to the Revolutionary War. I want to say it's 1865, 1855. I should know this. I don't have to say the date right now. Usually if I'm on tour, and rarely do I talk about it on tour. But Charles Sumner was a senator from Massachusetts, Preston Brooks, a senator from South Carolina. And during a 2-day speech Charles Sumner gave in the Senate about the condemning slavery in South Carolina, because what had happened at the time was the Bleeding Kansas Crisis, which I know sounds like a Midwest emo band that can just never break big. What had happened in Kansas, and when they were inducting a bunch more states into the Union, Congress had decided they're going to leave the decision to be slave states or not to the states themselves. So what happened in Kansas is a bunch of slave owners flocked to Kansas, and a bunch of abolitionists, people who are opposed to slavery, not opposed to drinking, that's prohibitionists, moved to Kansas so they can try and sway the vote in Kansas. And they just get into big fights on the streets. And it's just a bloody battle between slave owners and anti-slavers. Which, by the way, it's also the most ironic time because you had slave owners who were trying to get their slaves registered to vote so they could vote against their own interests. Then you had abolitionists that had to admit that slaves were 3/5 of a person and couldn't vote. Charles Sumner gives this epic 2-day speech condemning slavery, condemning South Carolina, calling a bunch of palmetto fuckers. I don't know. Like, he is just roasting them for 2 whole days. Imagine going to work, getting yelled at for 8 hours, going home, taking a nap, eating breakfast, and then coming back to get yelled at for another 8 hours, right? So Preston Brooks doesn't like Charles Sumner's, you know, dissing South Carolina, and especially his uncle, who was also a senator from South Carolina that just suffered a stroke and wasn't there to defend himself. So Preston Brooks, you know, gets riled up with his friends. They're all riled up. Yeah, you should do something about it, Preston. Go do something. And so Preston Brooks comes up behind Charles Sumner while he's writing at his desk, probably a tweet on how he killed it on the Senate floor, and then beats him with a cane within an inch of his life, disables him, blinds him temporarily. Charles Sumner is then out of Congress for 18 months. He was beaten so badly. Preston Brooks, you know what they did to him? Nothing. Nothing happened to him. They fined him a total of $5. His constituents not only reelected him, they sent him over 400 replacement canes to replace the one he broke beating Charles Sumner with. So I came to the museum to see what they had, and it's not much at all. They didn't really say much about it. Just a small blurb about it happening. And they have a nice little thing there about the Massachusetts 54th Regiment. Robert Gould Shaw was the leader of it. We know them in Massachusetts. There's a memorial to them. But also because, you know, the reason why it's in South Carolina is that where Robert Gould Shaw fell, that was their first battle, was in South Carolina. Was in whatever fort. And of course, spoiler alert, Robert Gould Shaw dies in the first battle, buried in a mass grave with 272 of the soldiers he commanded. And I talk about this on my tours, in that the South, the Civil War generals, not generals, but the Civil War people in front, charge of the Confederacy, contacted by mail Robert Gould Shaw's parents, said, hey, we will find your son's body and I'm burying him for you and ship him to your family burial plot free of charge as a show of goodwill between us and you, the North. And the parents said, no. Leave Robert where he lays. He would want to be buried with his men. None of that is said here in South Carolina, but that's how I talk about it in Boston. But the shows were, I did it a second show on Saturday, short little 7-minute set, and again, fully sold out, packed place. Everyone had a great time. This club is awesome.
While I'm traveling, though, I apparently lost 80 pounds, but I didn't lose enough weight to not catch type 2 diabetes. By the way, I didn't tour around the country the other day. I was in Atlanta, and I went to, anyone ever been to the Coca-Cola Museum in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know Coca-Cola was invented in Atlanta. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know the state of Georgia sells more Coca-Cola than anywhere else in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And did you know the official liquid of Georgia is insulin? Drive around the country, I get to do a lot of things that I don't get to do everywhere else because I actually live in Boston. I say that very specifically, I live in Boston, I'm not from Boston, I live there. Because I'm originally from Baltimore, and one of those is better than the other I'm talking about. You're nodding a little too hard, like, yeah, no. I've seen The Wire, yeah, that's where I live because that's where the crime happened, so.
Please support the club. If you're a comedian in this area, you know, here's another thing I found out, like talking about going back to cities that don't have open mics every night of the week or comedy shows every night of the week. Like Boston, we don't just have open mics every night. There's booked shows every night of the week. But here in, in Charleston, South Carolina, there's just like 6 comedians working. I was talking to them. The club just opened in June. It's a brand new club. So it's surprising how small the club is. And how new it is. But their local talent. It's like six comedians and like 20 some open micers. There's more people at an open, there's more white dudes with backward caps at open mics in Boston than there are people doing comedy in Charleston, South Carolina. It blows my mind that it's that way in this day. I'm sure, you know, the comedians here, they travel around within the area and the people travel to Charleston, Georgia, Charlotte, stuff like that, you know, a couple hours away. I mean, and that's what you got to do. You got to drive. And I listen to I read these blog posts of other cities when they talk about comedy. I live in a city where there's not really anything going on. I was like, get the fuck out of that podunk city. But Charleston's not a podunk city. I mean, again, it's not Boston. It's not Baltimore. But it's a city. I would imagine it's a little more like, it's weird to go to cities that don't have things going on every night of the week. Like, even before I did comedy, at least when I was younger, we used to go do band stuff. We'd go see bands every night of the week. Sometimes we'd have to go see a cover band or maybe a solo artist playing cover tunes in addition to their. So it's a little weird to be going to cities now, for me, to realize there are cities still in 2025 that are not active every night of the week. Because I'm kind of playing this week a little loosey-goosey. But... you know, I'm going to drive all around Florida and driving around and keeping things up. But it was weird to be like, so I end up going back to Jacksonville. Didn't want to contact my family and stay with them again. But I was going to go to open mic on a Sunday in Jacksonville and it's not happening anymore. And I looked up, there's no open mics at all. There's no comedy shows happening on a Sunday night in Jacksonville. There's no music open mics. That's why we came to St. Augustine, because there was one here, but I was like, I'm not going to, it's a musical, maybe I'll play the ukulele. But by the time I got down there, it was going to be late, so we just got in a hotel and went to bed. You know, I had a night off, which is weird to be on this, to have a night off in general, but also being on this tour where I'm trying to do comedy as much as possibly can and have a night off. I should have been editing video. I need to edit a lot of these videos, get everything put together, get these blog posts up, get these podcast episodes out. But I didn't. I just took the night. My sister and I just sat in bed, watched TV. She was so tired. I just wanted her to be able to go to bed. And she hopped right in the bed, went right to sleep. So we'll see if these calming chews work out for her. I'm going to be doing a bunch of comedy in Florida for the next couple of days. This won't be out in time, but you know, January 18th, I'm doing a show in Orlando, and January 20th, I'll be back in New Orleans. My friends from the comedy, you know, house, NOLA House of Comedy, which unfortunately, NOLA House of Comedy is not around anymore. So they're doing it, and they have a theater space that they're doing shows in. So luckily, I can find my way to get into one of the shows in the theater. Those are going to be exciting. Can't wait to update you guys about those shows.